Do not give up. Do not be deceived. Scripture reading, excuse me. Scripture reading, Galatians chapter 6, 7, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right. For we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. This is the gospel reading, Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
A poor man prays to God every single day for years, asking to win the lottery. Frustrated that he never wins, he cries out to God in despair. Suddenly, heavens open and God replies, "Give me a break, at least buy a ticket." Prayer is good. Prayer is important. Prayer is an essential part of our means of grace and spiritual disciplines. However, prayer is not a magic trick or a magic spell. God is not some kind of a vending machine that dispenses all kinds of instant answers to your request when you simply insert a coin called prayer. No, God is not some kind of genie who grants your wishes or someone who can make your dreams come true with a magic wand or something. Prayer is more than our personal beggings or petitions. Prayer is not about demanding what we want or claiming what we deserve, but about understanding and discerning God's heart and God's will for us. After all, prayer is all about our loving and trusting fellowship, relationships with God. Yes, we pray for everyone and everything around us. We pray for peace, guidance, safety, provision, and many other things in our lives, and we also pray for our church's growth sincerely and seriously. We wish and pray that we can fill this sanctuary with people. We all remember that the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown was one of the most challenging crises we have ever faced. During those disruptive days and months, no one was allowed to attend the worship in person, except for a few worship leaders to live streaming the service via online. Thank God, finally, the crisis was over 3 years ago. So since the lifting of the restrictions, we've been hoping and praying that more people would come and join for Sunday worship in person. Yes, now we truly pray for our church to thrive, grow and thrive, and to bear fruit abundantly. We pray for our congregation to be faithful and fruitful. So, last Sunday, we shared my sermon, Faithful and Fruitful, part 1 of 2. How can we be faithful and fruitful? We share the first 2 steps. If we do not take these 2 steps first, then it's like a man who prayed to win the lottery without buying a ticket, right? Remember the first 2 steps? First, planting, and then watering. By the way, if you missed my first sermon on planting and watering, which are very important, please catch up watching it via Facebook or our church's website. This morning, through my sermon part 2 of 2, we're going to share the final important step that we ought to follow through on our fruit-bearing task and mandate. It is to pray for God's growth upon our church and upon our missions and ministry effort. Last Sunday, we shared the passage from 1 Corinthians. Apostle Paul proclaims, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Sometimes the harvest is long in coming, or the harvest is not exactly how we anticipated or desired in its outcomes. It is truly up to God who gives us abundant growth if we do not give up. From this morning's Galatians passage, Paul is also encouraging us, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Thanks to Lucinda this morning for sharing children's moment with this passage. Therefore, here is the third and last point on being faithful and fruitful. Number 3 is praying for growth. Yes, we are called to pray for growth. Praying for church growth truly and seriously matters because it shifts the focus from human effort to divine power. It aligns a congregation with God's purposes, fuels outreach and evangelism, and deepens the spiritual maturity and unity of the believers, serving as the fundamental engine for lasting ministry impact. And there might be many important prayer focuses. This morning, as we engage in praying for growth, I would like to share with you 3 essential prayer focuses out of many. As you remember, so far we have used A, B, C, remember? D, E, F for each application. And so this morning, let us use G-H-I for the 3 focuses for our prayers. Number 1, G, God's heart. We are to pray to God, focusing on God's heart. Praying for God's heart means to ask God to help you feel, love, and see the world the way God does. Instead of only asking God to change your external circumstances, you ask God to give you His deep compassion, divine perspective, and selfless love for other people. Yes, our prayer focus should be on God's heart first. In this way, this focus helps you to shift your prayers away from a personal wish list and toward wanting what God wants. Moreover, by sharing God's compassion towards everyone, your focus helps you to ask feeling love or sorrow for the things that break God's heart, such as suffering, injustice, or lost people. Furthermore, this focus can see things through God's eyes so that you can pray to look past your own judgment and view others with grace and mercy. Jesus commands us to seek God's heart first in everything. According to the contemporary English version, Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, "But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what He wants. Then the other things will be yours as well." Number two, H, Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit's empowerment upon your life, your missions and ministries, your leadership and your church. We remember the great commission given by Jesus for His own disciples, the present followers, and the future generations. I'm sure you all are familiar with these words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Then here are the final words of Jesus. "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the final encouragement of Jesus as the follow-up promise that He will send us the Holy Spirit. Even though Jesus cannot be here with us in person now, the Holy Spirit is and will be with us always. Remember what Jesus already promised in the Gospel of John, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Here the word advocate also means helper, counselor, or defender. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the main source for our spiritual nourishment and strength. And He continued, "This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it either sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, because He abides with you, and He will be in you." Therefore, whenever we pray, especially for church growth, we must pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who gives us strength, guidance, and discernment, rather than relying on our own experience, our own knowledge, or own ways. Number three, I, inclusive love. Pray for inclusive love. Inclusive love means an unconditional, all-encompassing affection and acceptance that embraces all people and beings. It rejects barriers like race, gender, background, or social status to treat everyone with equal value and deep compassion. As a matter of fact, this inclusive love is God's love that John Wesley the founder of Methodism preached and practiced. In the 2023 book, Multiplying Love, A Vision of United Methodist Life Together, the author, Paul W. Chilcote, declares that inclusive love must be the foundation of a renewed Methodism after having gone through a great deal of challenges such as divisions and disaffiliations. Then he quotes John Wesley, quote, "Let love not visit you as a transient guest, but be the constant ruling disposition of your soul. See that your heart is filled at all times and on all occasions with real, genuine benevolence, not to those only that love you, but to every soul. Let it pant in your heart, let it sparkle in your eyes, let it shine on all your actions. Whenever you open your lips, let it be with love and the law of kindness beyond your tongue. Your word will then distill as the rain and as the dew upon the tender herb. Be not constrained or limited in your affection, but let it embrace every child of God," unquote. This love is truly Christ-like love, and we all are called to demonstrate this inclusive love in our church and in our world today. Before the COVID-19 pandemic crisis, we had a Bible study with the textbook entitled Reckless Love, Jesus Called to Love Our Neighbor, written by Tom Berlin. In the book, the author emphasizes, quote, "Jesus is calling us to love not as a concept, but as a verb. To accomplish this is the work of a lifetime," unquote. Then he continues, quote, "Love is not a principle in which we believe. It is not an aspiration we hope to attain. It is an orientation that sets the course of our daily words and action," unquote. As a matter of fact, the term love, especially the love of God and love of Christ, is indeed inclusive love. As we are trying to be faithful and fruitful, let us pray that we can truly live out God's love, and we clearly and boldly affirm that God is love. 1 John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because God is from God. Love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." Yes, we are faithfully sharing God's love. We are bearing the fruit of God's love fruitfully. My sisters and brothers in Christ, finally, as we are finishing up the 12-week sermon series, Bearing Fruit, let us remember one of the most important concluding paragraphs from the book, Bearing Fruit. This statement is, after all, the two authors' confession of faith through their own journey of bearing fruit. Quote, "We planted as carefully as we know how. We watered and fertilized and pruned. We loved and nourished the vineyard God gave to us. And always we prayed. After all we did, God gave the rich harvest. It was God who made it all grow. Fruitfulness is finally in God's hands," unquote. my fellow disciples of Jesus Christ, our fruit-bearing journey together is a lifelong task that makes us to be joyful and grateful as a faithful body of Christ. Nevertheless, sometimes we are required to practice more patience and fortitude because the expected harvest might not be coming soon enough. And sometimes things are not going well as planned or expected. However, be strong. Be courageous. God is ever faithful, and we keep on trusting God who gives us the growth and harvest. Hebrews 10:23 urges us, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. May we always be faithful and fruitful in our faith journey together so that we can truly glorify God and also witness life-saving transformations in our lives and in our neighbors' lives as well. During the 12-week sermon series, Bearing Fruit, we have shared a great deal of principles and applications for fruitfulness. Congratulations and thank you for walking the journey with me. Some of you might feel overwhelmed in some sense with all those insights and sermon points. However, take your heart. All this church growth and abundant ways of life begin with your simple smile. Let me share with you a story. One day, as a woman was crossing a street at London Station, an old man stopped her. He said to her, "Excuse me, ma'am, but I want to thank you." She looked up and exclaimed, "Thank me?" He replied, "Yes, ma'am. I used to be a ticket collector at this station, and whenever you went by, you always gave me a cheerful smile and a good morning. I knew that your smile must come from your inside somewhere. Then one morning, I saw a little Bible in your hand. So I bought one, too, and I found Jesus." I heard this story from somewhere in the past, but I don't know if this is a true story or not. But it doesn't matter. The lesson of this story is that even your simple smile has the power of showing God's love, because your smile reflects your heart that belongs to Christ. Okay, for your information, starting next Sunday, August 30th, we will be sharing my new 6-week sermon series, Embracing Acts of Faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.